Chapter 44. One chosen by those who had preceded him. Meanwhile Dare, previously master of their plans, went straight to the house which sheltered them, and on entering under the archway from the Lanestrasse was saved the trouble of inquiring for Captain de Stancy, by seeing him drinking bitters at a little table in the court. Had Somerset chosen this inn for his quarters instead of the one in the Market Place which he actually did choose, the three must inevitably have met here at this moment, with some possibly striking dramatic results, though what they would have been remains forever hidden in the darkness of the unfulfilled. De Stancy jumped up from his chair, and went forward to the newcomer. "You are not long behind us, then," he said, with laconic disquietude. "I thought you were going straight home?"
"I was," said Dare, "but I have been blessed with what I may call a small competency, since I saw you last. Of the 200 francs you gave me, I risked 50 at the tables, and I have multiplied them, how many times do you think?"
"More than 400 times. De Stancy immediately looked grave. "I wish you had lost them," he said, with as much feeling as could be shown in a place where strangers were hovering near.
"Nonsense, Captain. I have proceeded purely on a calculation of chances, and my calculations proved as true as I expected, notwithstanding a little in and out luck at first. Witness this as the result."
He smacked his bag with his umbrella, and the chink of money resounded from within.
"Just feel the weight of it."
"It is not necessary. I take your word."
"Shall I lend you 5 pounds?
God forbid.
As if that would repay me for what you have cost me.
But come, let's get out of this place to where we can talk more freely."
He put his hand through the young man's arm, and led him round the corner of the hotel towards the Schlossplatz.
"These runs of luck will be your ruin, as I have told you before," continued Captain de Stancy.
"You will be for repeating and repeating your experiments, and will end by blowing your brains out, as wiser heads than yours have done.
I am glad you have come away, at any rate.
Why did you travel this way?"
"Simply because I could afford it, of course.
But come, Captain, something has ruffled you today.
I thought you did not look in the best temper the moment I saw you.
Every sip you took of your pickup as you sat there showed me something was wrong.
Tell your worry."
"I can tell you in 2 words," said the captain satirically.
"Your arrangement for my wealth and happiness, for I suppose you still claim it to be yours, has fallen through.
The lady has announced today that she means to send for Somerset instantly.
She is coming to a personal explanation with him.
So woe to me, and in another sense, woe to you, as I have reason to fear."
"Send for him."
Said Dare, with the stillness of complete abstraction.
"Then he'll come."
Said de Stancy, looking him in the face.
"And does it make you feel you had better be off?
How about that telegram?
Did he ask you to send it, or did he not?"
"1 minute, or I shall be up such a tree as nobody ever saw the like of."
"Then what did you come here for?"
Burst out de Stancy.
"'Tis my belief you are no more than a, but I won't call you names.
I'll tell you quite plainly that, if there is anything wrong in that message to her which I believe there is no,
I can't believe, though I fear it, you have the chance of appearing in drab clothes at the expense of the government before the year is out, and I of being eternally disgraced."
"No, Captain, you won't be disgraced.
I am bad to beat, I can tell you.
And come the worst luck, I don't say a word."
"But those letters pricked in your skin would say a good deal, it strikes me."
"What?
Would they strip me?
But it is not coming to that.
Look here, now, I'll tell you the truth for once,
though you don't believe me capable of it. I did concoct that telegram and sent it, just as a practical joke, and many a worse one has been only laughed at by honest men and officers. I could show you a bigger joke, still a joke of jokes on the same individual. Dare, as he spoke, put his hand into his breast pocket, as if the said joke lay there, but after a moment he withdrew his hand empty, as he continued. Having invented it, I have done enough. I was going to explain it to you, that you might carry it out. But you are so serious, that I will leave it alone. My second joke shall die with me. So much the better, said Distancy. I don't like your jokes, even though they are not directed against myself. They express a kind of humor which does not suit me. You may have reason to alter your mind, said Dare carelessly. Your success with your lady may depend on it. The truth is, Captain, we aristocrats must not take too high a tone. Our days as an independent division of society, which holds aloof from other sections, are past. This has been my argument, in spite of my strong Norman feelings, ever since I broached the subject of your marrying this girl, who represents both intellect and wealth all, in fact, except the historical prestige that you represent. And we mustn't flinch at things. The case is even more pressing than ordinary cases owing to the odd fact that the representative of the new blood who has come in our way actually lives in your own old house and owns your own old lands. The ordinary reason for such alliances is quintupled in our case. Do then just think and be reasonable before you talk tall about not liking my jokes and all that. Beggars mustn't be choosers. There's really much reason in your argument, said Distancy, with a bitter laugh. And my own heart argues much the same way. But, leaving me to take care of my aristocratic self, I advise your aristocratic self to slip off at once to England like any hang-gallows dog. And if Somerset is here, and you have been doing wrong in his name, and it all comes out, I'll try to save you, as far as an honest man can. If you have done no wrong, of course there is no fear, though I should be obliged by your going homeward as quickly as possible, as being better both for you and for me. Hello, damnation. They had reached one side of the Schlossplatz, nobody apparently being near them save a sentinel who was on duty before the palace. But turning as he spoke, Distancy beheld a group consisting of his sister, Paula, and Mr. Power, strolling across the square towards them. It was impossible to escape their observation, and putting a bold front upon it, Distancy advanced with Dare at his side. Till in a few moments the two parties met, Paula and Charlotte recognizing Dare at once as the young man who assisted at the castle. I have met my young photographer, said Distancy cheerily. What a small world it is, as everybody truly observes. I am wishing he could take some views for us as we go on, but you have no apparatus with you, I suppose, Mr. Dare? I have not, sir, I am sorry to say, replied Dare respectfully. You could get some, I suppose? Asked Paula of the interesting young photographer. Dare declared that it would be not impossible, whereupon Distancy said that it was only a passing thought of his, and in a few minutes the two parties again separated, going their several ways. That was awkward, said Distancy, trembling with excitement. I would advise you to keep further off in future. Dare said thoughtfully that he would be careful, adding, she is a prize for any man, indeed, leaving alone the substantial possessions behind her. Now was I too enthusiastic? Was I a fool for urging you on? Wait till success justifies the undertaking. In case of failure it will have been anything but wise. It is no light matter to have a carefully preserved repose broken in upon for nothing, a repose that could never be restored. apostrophe apostrophe, they walked down the Carl Friedrich's Strasse to the Margrave's Pyramid, and back to the hotel, where Dare also decided to take up his stay. The Stancy left him with the bookkeeper at the desk, and went upstairs to see if the ladies had returned. IV. He found them in their sitting room with their bonnets on, as if they had just come in. Mr. Power was also present, reading a newspaper, but Mrs. Goodman had gone out to a neighboring shop, in the windows of which as he had seen something which attracted her fancy. When the Stancy entered, Paula's thoughts seemed to revert to Dare, for almost at once she asked him in what direction the youth was traveling. With some hesitation, the Stancy replied that he believed Mr. Dare was returning to England after a spring trip for the improvement of his mind. A very praiseworthy thing to do, apostrophe said Paula. What places has he visited? Apostrophe apostrophe, those which afford opportunities for the study of the old masters, I believe, apostrophe said the Stancy blandly. He has also been to Turin, Genoa, Marseille, and so on. Apostrophe apostrophe, the captain spoke the more readily to her questioning in that he divined her words to be dictated, not by any suspicions of his relations with Dare, but by her knowledge of Dare as the draftsman employed by Somerset. Has he been too nice? Apostrophe apostrophe, she next demanded. Did he go there in company with my architect? Apostrophe apostrophe, I think not. Apostrophe apostrophe, has he seen anything of him? My architect Somerset once employed him. They know each other. Apostrophe, I think he saw Somerset for a short time. Apostrophe apostrophe, Paula was silent. Do you know where this young man Dare is at the present moment? Apostrophe apostrophe, she asked quickly. The Stancy said that Dare was staying at the same hotel with themselves, and that he believed he was downstairs. I think I can do no better than send for him, apostrophe said she. He may be able to throw some light upon the matter of that telegram. Apostrophe apostrophe, she rang and dispatched the waiter for the young man in question, the Stancy almost visibly trembling for the result. But he opened the town directory which was lying on a table, and affected to be engrossed in the names. Before Dare was shown in, she said to her uncle, perhaps you will speak to him for me? Apostrophe apostrophe, Mr. Power, looking up from the paper he was reading, assented to her proposition. Dare appeared in the doorway, and the waiter retired. Dare seemed a trifle startled out of his usual coolness, the message having evidently been unexpected, and he came forward somewhat uneasily. Apostrophe Mr. Dare, we are anxious to know something of Miss Power's architect, and Captain De Stancy tells us you have seen him lately, apostrophe said Mr. Power sonorously over the edge of his newspaper. Not knowing whether danger menaced or no, or, if it menaced, from what quarter it was to be expected, Dare felt that honesty was as good as anything else for him, and replied boldly that he had seen Mr. Somerset, the Stancy continuing to cream and mantle almost visibly, in anxiety at the situation of the speaker. And where did you see him? Apostrophe apostrophe, continued Mr. Power. In the casino at Monte Carlo. Apostrophe apostrophe, how long did you see him? Apostrophe apostrophe, only for half an hour. I left him there. Apostrophe, Paula's interest got the better of her reserve, and she cut in upon her uncle. Did he seem in any unusual state, or in trouble? Apostrophe apostrophe, he was rather excited, apostrophe said Dare. And can you remember when that was? Apostrophe apostrophe, Dare considered, looked at his pocketbook, and said that it was on the evening of April the 22nd. The answer had a significance for Paula, the Stancy, and Charlotte, to which Abner Power was a stranger. The telegraphic request for money, which had been kept a secret from him by his niece, because of his already unfriendly tone towards Somerset, arrived on the morning of the 23rd, a date which neighbored with painfully suggestive nicety upon that now given by Dare. She seemed to be silenced, and asked no more questions. There, having furbished himself up to a gentlemanly appearance with some of his recent winnings, was invited to stay on the while by Paula's uncle, who, as became a traveled man, was not fastidious as to company. Being a youth of the world, Dare made himself agreeable to that gentleman, and afterwards tried to do the same with Miss Stancy. At this the captain, to whom the situation for some time had been amazingly uncomfortable, pleaded some excuse for going out, and left the room. Dare continued his endeavors to say a few polite nothings to Charlotte Stancy, in the course of which he drew from his pocket his new silk handkerchief. By some chance a card came out with the handkerchief, and fluttered downwards. His Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.